How many like Christmas? You betcha. Boy, when you're a kid, you can't wait. You just can't wait. And then it comes and goes quickly. Then you got to go back to school, and all the joy is dissipated. How many know the Godhead is involved in every major event in the Word of God? It's no question. Absolutely no question about it. I was reading this week about IRAs, which I don't have one, but that's okay. And it was saying, a will, if you have a will intact in place, a will is not enough if your beneficiary designations are not correct. A will cannot override the beneficiary form of an IRA, meaning this. Say you fill out your beneficiary form, of course you give it all to your wife, because you should, okay? And then something goes wrong. Either she passes away or there's an unfortunate divorce. Did you know that some of your goods can go to people that you didn't intend it to if you don't update your beneficiary forms? It can happen. That's why occasionally they send them out and say, update it. Now, you could all make it very easy and just put my name on it, and that'd be great. But they should be reviewed and updated, because if they're not, you won't know because you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Okay, you aren't going to worry about it. But the ones that come after might have a difficulty. The proper distribution of the will of the Father had to be executed at a perfect and a suitable time and through proper means. Did everybody get a sheet if you want a word study sheet? I always forget that, so I prefer to remember it at the beginning of the message. Anybody doesn't have one that would like one, please raise up your little digit so Dave knows and he can give you one. Otherwise, we'll assume everybody has received one. Okay, Jan needs one. There's a couple out here. For each of us to be born into the family of God, it was imperative that the Son of God was born into the family of man. Imperative. No other way. You want to have an inheritance in Him, it has to come through the Son, through relationship. So we're going to read a great portion of Scripture in Galatians. This is a portion Paul was writing to the church of Galatia because they had started moving back toward paying attention to the law instead of the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved by grace, why do you at some point begin to hang on to the law? The law is a structure for life, but it does not save you. It cannot save you. And so Paul is writing to this church in the first verse. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. And by the way, in the Greek, that means sons and daughters. Yippee-doo. Because you are sons and or daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Talking about the Trinity, the Godhead, in the work of the incarnation, when Jesus was born into this world system. It's a very interesting study. This is the Apostle Paul, most brilliant man of the New Testament, writing. Now remember, he knew the law, he knew everything of the Old Testament, he knew Hebrew, he knew all the languages, he knew everything. But guess what? when the Lord knocked him off and he was converted, he didn't know about grace. And so when the Lord put him up for 3 years in the desert, what do you think they were talking about? He was explaining to Paul the very things we're seeing in the written word, in his letters to the people. Paul didn't have that from the Old Testament. He would have had to get the clarity through the Holy Spirit, through his relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to understand the Old Testament? Let Jesus and the Holy Spirit explain it to you. He will do that, and it's fabulous, without which it doesn't have the real strength it should. But Paul is saying, what I am saying here, and the word saying in your study, is the word lego. And it means to say or to speak, but it's originally from a word that means to lay down to sleep, to lay an argument to rest, and to move to a conclusion. Did you know that when Jesus Christ was sent into this earth, it ended the argument, the debate? Who is God? Who's alive? Who is holy? Who is the only one that can come here? Who's the only one that could make the trip? It's all settled in the name of Jesus. There is nobody else that can absolutely claim any authority in the Word of God at all. I don't care what God they call it. I don't care what list of faith or tenets of faith they think they have. They do not have a resurrected king. They do not. They have a dead hope. That's really what other religions have. And unfortunately, some people in the churches, because they're trusting in the church or in some other means. We get to go directly to Jesus. How many are glad? Hey, I say it saves time. I love it. And he's so gracious. How many remember the Legos, the things you played with as a kid when you'd put things together? And then, of course, you went over and knocked off your brother or sister's one because yours should stand at the last. But at any rate, to put pieces together, when Paul is saying this, he's saying, I'm going to share with you out of the story and the idea of heirship the whole picture of the incarnation and why it's so important. He's going to put a piece together that is just imperative. And he talks about heirship. Do you know that you can only be an heir if somebody chooses you? Now, generally, it's through a blood relationship, but it can be other than that. But there has to be some kind of relationship with the person who's put your name on there, or the church, or whatever the case might be. There has to be something that connects you to that beneficiary moment. And in this timeline, and in this time frame, the heir had to be a certain age to inherit the estate. If they were underage, they could not inherit it yet, even though it was there for them. Okay, that's what this is talking about. Until then, until you were at the right age, you were no different than a slave. Because a slave would serve at the house or at the estate. They would do all the work. They did the work without the relationship. That's why we cannot work our way to God, because you're working without a relationship. It's empty. I mean, when you leave work, you might like the people you work with, but I can guarantee you, you probably don't have the same feeling, and you're not going to put them on your beneficiary form. I would think not. So, it says here, you're under a guardian or a manager till the date is set by the Father. Till the time, in this word in the Greek is chronos. Your sheet might say chromos. That's because my typewriter or my computer thought that's not a correct name. It doesn't know Greek or Hebrew, apparently. So, but it should be chronos. That's where we get the word chronological, just so you know. And it means a particular time or season. How many know God's never late? And he's also not significantly early. You get upset when people come early to your house? We had Christmas 1 year. This lady who I loved came an hour and a half early. Oh, I wanted to stick her head in the oven. Oh. But I couldn't because the ham was in there. They have the ham. God's always on time. Always. He says, and at that time comes the heir. The word heir in the Greek, it means an inheritor. And it comes from a word that means lot, and then it also, the second word, means to distribute or the allotment. How many know that God divides appropriately? Okay? He releases how he determines to do it. It's the only fair thing in his judgment, but that heir is going to inherit. And by the way, the inheritance is already there. It's not like it's going to be set up in the future. I mean, you don't know what your estate's going to be until you're gone. Then you find out how much your money is worth, or in the other case, sometimes what it's not worth. When Elvis Presley died, he was broke because he gave it everything away. Then they gave it to the Church of Scientology. But that has been rescinded, thankfully. But at any rate, it says an heir is a child. When you're a child, when you're underage, this word means infant, immature, unlearned, a minor, child not of age. And it comes from a word ne, which means negation or no, and epos, which means not speaking. In other words, it means you can't speak on your own behalf. You can't speak on your own behalf. You have to wait until a certain age. That's why we talk about the age of accountability, which we don't really know what that age is, because everyone is an individual, where we can really give our life to Jesus Christ and really mean it. Because I've said before, and I'll say it again, there are no grandchildren in heaven. You're not going to heaven because your parents were Christian. That's not how it works. You have to come through your own relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, in this great scripture, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set. Who's setting the time? The Father. You know, when the scripture talks about when Jesus is coming again, remember it says the Son doesn't know, but the Father? The Father, who is the ears, knows the timing. He knows what's coming. And it says these guardians, which simply means an administrator and an authority and a steward. A guardian was generally appointed for an infant under 14, because when you got to 12 to 14, particularly to 14, you were seen as an adult. That's why when Jesus was in the temple, remember he was 12? His parents came looking for him. He was not to be on his own yet, even though certainly as the Son of God, we would understand why he would be. But he honored the rules of the house. So the guardian was appointed for that infant by the father of the magistrates. It was a legal deal. And that word comes from a word to turn to or to entrust and permit. See, the idea here is, in our society, when you have a guardian, they are appointed for a particular individual. But if there's no money in the estate, they won't take the guardianship. The people in our world don't take it unless there's a benefit to them. We've been around that role. Okay? How many are glad God took us on? We had nothing to offer. Actually, everything we had to offer was negative, and he did it anyway. Greatest guardian of our soul. So it said guardian or manager. Manager really is the day-to-day person. The guardian is the legal person, but the manager is a steward, a manager of the household, and a distributor of the estate. So they work together unto an appointed time. And I love this. Do you know God appoints people to ministry? He appoints time for a specific reason. He appoints it. And here, the word means to appoint beforehand. I just love the fact that God's not coming behind everybody scooping up everything. He's already prepared everything ahead of time. He's always in charge. Man, he's the best at everything he does. Pro means before, and tithemi means to place or fix. That word is only used there in the New Testament. Appointed. Now, It's interesting scripture, and I want to tell you something here. So it talks about when the time was set by the Father. This appointed time was when? It was after the intertestamental period. It's after the Old Testament, before the New Testament. 400 years of no revealed will of God. That's longer than we've been a republic. You imagine never having heard the word, never heard a divine word. You never heard a prophecy. You never heard anything of any hope outside of that time frame. 400 years of wars, pillaging, the good things that came out of it, because as you know, what the enemy means for harm, God makes for good. That Greek, as the Grecian line came forward, that became the common language would be used in the New Testament to bring the message of the gospel. And then when the Romans came into play, they were very hard at work pulling together the trade routes and all the roads, the Roman road, so that the gospel could get into these different locations. Why did God wait? Because he had to put everything in place first. If you think God's late in your life, you're wrong. Just means he's putting something in place you don't know yet. So hang on, because God's never wrong and he's never late. Because it said, we were held in bondage as slaves. That word means to enslave, bring under subjection. And what it's meaning is that until Christ came, everybody was under bondage. Everybody was. And before we came to Christ, we were under bondage, right? So, in the fourth verse, this is the great verse of the text, but when the time had fully come, in the Greek it says, but when the time came. Not a general time, but a specific. It's a definite article. It means that there's only one of a kind. And there was only one incarnation, one true incarnation of God becoming man. No other religion has it. No other philosophy can espouse it. It's only one. That's why he states it that way. In the fullness of the time, and the word fullness in the Greek means to fill up completely, for completion, sum total, that which fills, and my favorite word of a couple years ago, supply. Do you remember when I was called supply pastor and everybody hated it? I always felt like I was coming out of a closet with a broom or something, and I hated that word, but that's what they called it at that time. I wonder if I have a record for the most pastoral titles in a church, but at any rate, this word was also used in classical Greek to denote ships that were filled with freight, merchandise, sailors, oarsmen, and soldiers. And the vessel that was arriving, which of course is Jesus Christ, was not only the fullness of life and eternity, but it was a passenger-carrying vessel. How many are glad? There's room on there for you. Thank God. When it says the fullness of time, everything was completed. Everything was completed in terms of the physical layout, how the word was going to go forth, how people were ready to hear the message because they were 400 years in darkness. That's a long time not to hear from God, isn't it? Personally, I think 5 minutes is a little long, but 400 years? Oh, terrible. And so the Bible says he sent forth his son. Again, that means the Father sent forth the Son, because the Son sends the Spirit. That's how they operate together. Send forth, the Greek word is the same word for apostle. A sent one, and he's really in that spirit, he was a missionary, because he came from another place to come here. The greatest mission field of all was this earth. And the Father sent the Son as a missionary for each one. And the word means to send forth or to send away, to be qualified for the task. How many are glad the Lord was qualified? He met every absolute criteria. There's nothing that he did not fill properly. And so it says, and so, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. The word God here is theos. It is the creator and the owner of all. It's an appropriate name to use when you're talking about inheritance, because only the one that has it all can give it all away. and can distribute it properly. So John 3:16, who's going to quote it? Absolutely. I got to tell you, I love it when church people know the Bible. You know, it's just a little thing of mine. Thank you. God so loved that he gave. He didn't give because he felt guilty. He gave because he loved. The love that Patrick was talking about. In a deeper way, of course. And he sent his son, and that word in the Greek means not only a son, it means a descendant. You have to have a future descendant line, right? For the family to go forward. And this is who Jesus is. He shares the same nature as the Father. He is the same likeness of his behavior, and he has the legal rights of the inheritance because he is the Son. And he says here, he was born under law. In other words, he had to come through the Jewish law because that's the way God determined the ship to sail. And then, so that he could redeem us. Great word. To buy up, and I like this one, to buy away from. Did you know that the Lord bought you away from the devil? Because when Adam and Eve yielded to the serpent, guess whose slave they became? The serpent. But see, he wasn't smart enough. He thought he had it all together. And the Lord said, because he probably had feet, he said, you're going to crawl on the ground. He cursed him. I don't know about you, but if you're cursing someone and they're crawling, that means they were probably walking before. He was strutting around like he's somebody big. And the Lord said, you have done this. You are going to crawl on your belly. And you are going to feel the same ground from which I created man. And you ultimately are defeated. So, we are redeemed. The word means to buy away from and ransom. How many know that Dixie's been ransomed twice? Her maiden name is Ransom. I love it. Are you kidding? She went from being Ransom to being a steal. I mean, she just... Figuratively, the word means to reserve and to release from loss. Ek, which is a Greek word meaning out of. In this case, it means completely out from. It's not just out of something, it's completely out. Remember I talked about when God created, he created light. It came out of what? Darkness. See, the light was already there. God just pulled it out of the darkness. Eve was already in Adam. He pulled her out. So he could see who was bothering him. But, okay, knew somebody would get it. Second word of this means to buy at the marketplace. It's a legal deal. When the devil tells you he didn't save you, he's a liar. Because there's a receipt on his face that says they've been bought. I paid the price. I shed my blood. You're out of here. You're done. And so... So we have the great redemption. Redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. The full rights. We always say in our family, Jan and I, because we're twins and we're at the bottom. Actually, I'm really at the bottom. She's been stepping on me for years. No, I'm kidding. But anyhow. And a lot of times, you know, the other three, God bless them, they got everything and complete. We had to share everything. And I mean, which is okay, at least I knew she didn't steal mine. But this is full rights. You get everything. Nobody's going to get less than someone else. And so the Godhead, we find out here in the 6th and 7th, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son. You see the Godhead here? The Father sends him. The Son comes and the Son sends the Spirit, who calls out, Abba, Father. Now in the Greek, this is interesting to me, because it says, because you are sons, God sent. In the Greek, it says, the God. Again, another definite article. It means one of only one kind. Nobody else like him, never will be. He wanted to make that clear. And he sent the Spirit into our hearts. Why? Because the Father knew we were crying. Mankind was crying. Mankind was lost. That word, which is a very interesting word, kratzo, probably where we get the word crazy from. Don't you think? We don't know any crazy people. But it means to scream, to cry out, to shriek, and cry out loud. This is not just boo-hoo, folks. This is the cry of a soul that knows it's an impending doom. One of the great sermons of the last million years, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. The man couldn't see. He would talk to people like this, to the big crowds. And as he was talking about sinners in the hands of an angry God, there was such anointing that people were hanging onto the chairs because they felt they were slipping into the depths of hell. People today really don't have any concept of who the enemy is, what hell is, and the reality of the lake of fire. We have insurance. We could pay for everything. Let me tell you something. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no insurance. You don't. That's not God's fault. God wants us to have it. This is a word that was used in a poetic way for a raven's piercing cry. It was urgent. The caw means, help me. It's piercing. It goes right through you. And I love this, where we cry, Abba, Father. About 6 years ago, almost to the, I don't remember the exact date, but Dwayne's father passed away, Wally. He always sat in that seat. We sat behind him. And lovely, lovely man. And what I always remembered, which is why I wrote this, was Dixie would always call him Daddy. That always sounded to me kind of like a Southern thing, you know, Daddy. And so I wrote something called Daddy. Of all the times I've heard you frame his name with one sweet word, I thought of how you cherished him each time this word was heard. Daddy, you'd call him with respect, in poignant, tender care, and how he'd answer in response, so thankful you were there. Daddy is found within the script of God's inspired text. It does reveal how we are loved and what is happening next. This Abba Father phrase I cite shows God's paternal flair. When Wally slipped into God's arms, he met his daddy there. That's who awaited him. And that is who the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. Not the big, bad Wizard of Oz, but the tender daddy that you can jump into his lap and he'll receive you with great joy. That's the relationship that is so important. Now, up to this point, again, they could not speak for themselves. Now, when Jesus came, he gave us a voice through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. No longer a slave under law, that we would be his child instead. There's a beneficiary form in eternity. I hope your name, you've put your name on it. This is the one you put on yourself. God wants to put everyone on. For God so loved the world, he loves everybody. But he can't force us. So he wants us to put our name on it. How many have kept up a little bit with Pastor Saeed, who's been imprisoned in an Iranian prison for a considerable time? His son Jacob was having a 7th birthday, and he knew he couldn't be there, even though he said, I'll try, I'll really try, but, you know, he doesn't have that ability. And so he sent a letter to his son through a family member who was allowed to visit him. So that's gracious because, you know, you would think they wouldn't even allow that. But he said, I saw your beautiful birthday invitation that you had made me. And I know how much you want me to be there on your birthday. Daddy loves you so much, he wrote. I long to be there for your birthday and to make this reunion happen. Here's the key. But my chains are keeping me from you. My chains are keeping me from you. When you think of this pastor who has been beaten beyond repair, continued in prison, and he goes on to witness to his son, to say, follow Jesus. He's the one you can stand up for. And he ends it and he says, I want you to know the one who is there for you and cares for you more than anyone else can imagine. He is there with you, and his name is, going back to what Brian said, I am who I am. So happy birthday to my big boy and my hero. Thank you for standing with me in this battle for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His chains prevent him from seeing his precious son. Did you know the chains of Jesus Christ were there because of us? Our sin chained him. His chains were broken on the cross. We have absolute full access if we want it. Nothing can keep you from a wonderful relationship with Abba Father. Nothing. The devil can't. He's been thrown out with the dishwater. Thank God. I always ask the Lord, I can't wait to have instant replay so I can see him get it. I think that'd be fabulous. I think we should have popcorn and just enjoy it. But in the meantime, the Godhead working for us in the great incarnation. How many are glad he redeemed you? How many are glad he broke the chains? How many are glad you can speak for yourself? God will allow it. In most religions, you can't speak for yourself. Do you know that? You can't ask questions. You can't do anything. You do what they tell you. But Jesus said, come unto me. He allows us to ask. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today for the incarnation, that you came, Lord, from heaven into this pit, into this sinful pit. And you knew that the people you were going to die for, the bulk of them will reject you and never accept your great, great gift. But you did not lessen your love or your desire or your determination to prepare for that gift. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's here today. Lord, we have to update the beneficiary form and not assume that we're there because of our parents, of our works, of our gifts, of the money we give, or any of that. Those are that which flows out of a relationship. They do not earn or buy it. And I'm glad, Lord, because there's nothing we could do to earn the love that you so freely give. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask today if there are any here, that beneficiary form needs to be updated, but you got to put your name in there. Say, I want to be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. We get to enjoy it with him, which is a great thing about him. Maybe you couldn't speak before, you were under bondage, but in the name of Jesus, he can free you. So you can cry out, Abba, Father. Nothing more tender than to cry that in his presence. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you've thought about it, but you've never done it. You've never done it publicly. This is where you put your foot on the devil and say, you don't own me anymore. Jesus already paid for me. And I'm going his way because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you're here. I don't care what age you are. If you understand the word of God and you understand the love of God for you and you want to respond to it, please do so. If you're here, raise your hand. If you want to and have never given your life to Christ. It's so imperative, folks. Particularly if the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, It's not because of your parents. It's not because of the church you attend. It's because of the blood. It's because of what I did for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord Jesus. Your gift and your love for us is absolutely astounding. And the more we learn it, the higher our relationship with you will ascend. Remind us today, the devil lost the deal. He was publicly humiliated. And he will be eternally humiliated. He doesn't own us, he just uses words against us. God, that's all the more reason your word should come to the rally. And we need to stay in your word to fight the lies of the enemy. Father, I thank you, you rescued us. I thank you, you bought us back. The great pawn shop. But it wasn't worthless, not to you. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pray that you would make these things real to us, especially the fact that the Godhead has worked together once again in the great incarnation to show us heaven on earth and to take us where no one else can take us, to go where no man has gone before. He is the only one that could do it. Lord, bless, I pray, the hearing of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. If you just, as we're singing this, if you sense you want to just come to the altar and worship the Lord, you can do so. Great song. I will praise him. So wonderful. We had one little inkling how great he is. It would change everything, wouldn't it? Well, I'm going to ask Bobby Lucan to come up and to close in prayer. And next week will be the Godhead in the life and baptism of Jesus Christ. It will be Palm Sunday.
Thank you, Pastor. Let us pray. Precious God in heaven, we praise your holy name for giving us the opportunity to worship you, to celebrate your life, to celebrate your death, to celebrate your resurrection. And as that time of your resurrection celebration is coming along, we want to remember what you did, what you gave for us, how much you loved us. Just praise your holy name for those things. We ask, Lord, now that you be with each and every one of us this week through our journeys. Pray for those that have afflictions, health issues. Just be with them and comfort them. And we pray to see you back here next week, next Sunday in church. Guide our paths. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.